When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the High Potion Cabaret Club. I am your host, Stephen Crothy, and behind me are some of the most beautiful women you've ever seen in your life. They're our hostesses, and they're going to be taking care of you this evening. I'm going to introduce you to my number one girl. Here she is, Oz Burkhart.
Ohio Gozaimas, listener coon. I'm Hals Burkhart, and I'm here to talk about video games with you at the Hostess Club.
Fuck, that Hostess Club would slap, by the way.
Yep.
If I went to a Japanese Hostess Club and she was like, Ohio Gozaimasu, you want to talk Tool in Final Fantasy? Yes!
Where do I start spending money?
Yeah, we're about to get in fever mode here. Oh, buddy. I'm expecting this episode's going to be a little wild because... First off, we're recording this and releasing it immediately because the High Potion Monday streak will not be broken. No, sir.
That's right. No.
And we had originally planned on doing sort of not a double episode, but a combined episode about the topic today and the topic of our next episode. But I said, no, you know what? We're only talking about, you know, the final release date for the DLC for Game of the Year in 2022. Oh, Elden Ring. Oh. So today,
yes, baby,
we're going to be talking about Shadow of the Erdtree. Shadow of the Erdsteve. All right, that's I can't say it otherwise. So it really was a struggle to say Shadow of the Erdtree. That's what we're going to be talking about. I have so many Elden Ring questions for Steve. He's like my personal Vati Vidya, so...
Oh, boy.
I think this is going to be a good time, because I'm confused as fuck, buddy. And we're probably going to... Well, I know for a fact we've got some voicemails we're going to listen to. We have some people send in some voicemails. Probably won't do a Flory and an HK one this week, but we'll do one next week.
Cool.
But, buddy... Before we jump into that, can I just go ahead and tell you that I am like less than 72 hours from... I didn't mean to play it twice, but I'm going to let it.
You're keeping it together pretty well, honestly.
Buddy, you think so. You think I'm keeping it together, but I'm waking up in cold sweats talking about materia in my sleep and shit. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out in just a couple of days, and I cannot fucking wait, bro. Oh, yeah, my God.
We got to talk a little bit about that because, you know, certain things have happened on social media with a favorite of ours. And it's worth talking about, yeah? A good week for old Tifa Lockhart?
Yeah, it's a good week for old Tifa Lockhart and Tifa Lockhart Sims. Of course I know him. He is me.
He's me.
Yeah, buddy, they know their audience, and I am their audience. You know what I mean? Like, so they've really been... really...
Yeah. Yeah, man. There was a leaked cinematic, I guess, earlier this week... And I would imagine it takes place at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it's like a Costa del Sol.
A lighthearted beach section, feels like, you know, and characters are dressed accordingly.
Yeah, you know how in Remake, Final Fantasy VII Remake, early on in the game, you can sort of, Tifa's like, we should go out sometime. What, how do you want me to dress up? And you get three options, and that depends on, like, that dictates the dress she wears later in the game. Apparently, that's the same thing with her swimsuits in Rebirth.
Jeez, yeah. So just say, like, she managed to really strengthen her hold on the number one spot of all the, all, pretty much. So
of all Final Fantasy characters.
Mm-hmm. And you know, ladies, don't worry. Cloud shirtless. I mean, the 18 pack rocking.
Bro, and Barrett in the sailor suit.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of stuff to get excited.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be people rubbing all over to themselves to bear in that sailor suit, you know? Like
I sent you a video on Twitter of the streamer Bloody Faster and her horny compilation of Remake.
I saw that. I saw that, and I was like, you're a cool lady. Yeah. You're a cool lady. Yeah, man, I am so, so, so excited. It's one of those things where going into the first one, you know, you knew this wasn't the complete game, right? They were splitting it into parts. And even after the release of the first one, it was kind of up in the air on how many parts this remake project was going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once they announced Rebirth, they also announced, you know, the Crisis Core remaster and, you know, said basically this it's going to be a trilogy with the third game, the third unannounced game. So... it's one of those things where, like, after the first game, it's so hard to think about the next one because the first part of the remake or trilogy was announced and took a very long time to come out. You know, it was one of those things that was announced. There was some developer helping Square Enix on it that was taken off of it, you know, one of those whole things. And then it finally came out, and I was like, all right, well, this one's out. How long is it going to be until the next one? And you know what? They're getting it out in less than the time than it takes to make a Tool album, even back during the good days. So good on y'all, Square Enix.
Yeah, honestly, faster than I thought.
Yeah,
it would be.
Yeah. So, I am just lit up like a kid on Christmas Eve. So real quickly, streaming schedule for this coming week. Okay. February 28th at 11 p.m. Central. 12 a.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to be going live streaming Rebirth the minute it drops. Okay.
So it comes out Thursday? Today's the 26th. So Wednesday would be the 28th.
Yes. And it comes out Thursday, the 29th. But you
gotcha.
Know
okay,
how
yes.
the release date shit goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll be streaming it there. I have no plans or intentions to have that stream be a certain length or anything. I learned my lesson last time. It's going to be a while. I'm going to stay up late playing it. Thursday, the next day, the 29th, I'll be streaming it whenever Will and I finish recording Blue Harvest that yep. week. Now, Friday, I'm going to be streaming it a lot, and it's probably going to be broken up to two streams because I secured maybe the biggest guest for stream ever, and they're going to be stopping by Friday night.
Ooh, I can't wait for that. You have the best guests on your stream.
I work hard, man.
This shit ain't nothing to me, man.
So anyways, come hang out on stream. I'll be streaming Saturday and Sunday as well, maybe even Monday. I'm going to be streaming a lot of Final Fantasy. I have to get as much as I can in on this little chunk of time I have off. So
you're off Thursday through Sunday?
Thursday through Monday.
Oh, nice.
Because,
nice.
You know, Sunday and Monday are normal Monday. Days off.
So. Yeah, yeah, cool. I'm happy for you, man. You're going to be able to get a whole lot of it done. Yeah.
I would think so, too. And hopefully that means we can get a Rebirth episode out, you know, fairly quickly within a couple of months of its release, you know? Sometimes I'll be slow milking those games. Mommy milkers? All right. We got to move on from Rebirth Talker. That was about to get spicy. All right, buddy. So I've got a couple of voicemails here. The first one I want to play is from, I know you know this guy because he sends in voicemails to Blue Harvest all the time, Jacob Wizardo.
Oh, I love this guy.
Well, yeah. He's got one for us, buddy. Let's check
awesome.
It out.
What's up, guys? First time voice message on High Potion here. But, you know, I've left a plethora of messages on the old Blue Harvest. And, you know, recently, let's say I got a little gummied up. And, you know, turned on a random streaming service. And I thought, oh, I'll just watch something random. What do? Click on Max. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this movie in forever, probably since I saw it on cable TV back in the day. And that movie was Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, shit, the sequel.
And, boys, it was a mainstay on cable back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s. I used to watch it, and, oh, boy, I had no idea what the fuck was going on in this movie. It just throws you right into it, dude. And I didn't know what the hell was going on, but it was awesome. It was a crisp, hour and 10 minutes, hour 15 minutes tops, dude. Whew, it was a wild ride. Didn't make a lick of sense, but was it entertaining? And so that leaves me my question for you guys. If there was any video game that hasn't been made into a movie, what do you want to see be made? And what would you like to see a terrible movie made from a video game just to like actually see it transpire? All right, take it easy, guys.
Awesome. So thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah.
Calling in.
Thanks, Jacob.
I was actually stoked he added that there at the end, too, because my initial thought was to just go with, like, a terrible one.
Uh-huh.
So we get to do both now. Now, refresh my memory on this Annihilation movie. Was that the second one?
That was the second one. Mm-hmm. And I have only seen that movie maybe all the way through once.
I saw it in the theater when it came out with my friends at college, and we didn't care for it as much.
Oh,
we loved the first one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first one is bad, but it's a classic. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's bad, but it's good, and it is a classic. I'm really curious to look this up. Oh, my God. It's got a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Sounds about right.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Because you know that? I feel like the first movie was fairly... I mean, it's definitely way better than that, but I feel like it was... what's the word I'm looking for? Like successful, right? The one that came out in 1995.
Yeah.
It had a budget of $20 million and it made $122 million at the box office. That's a
very
success.
Successful.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if they spent the equal amount of the budget on marketing, still quite a success. Let's see about Annihilation. Okay. Its budget was $30 million, so they gave them a little bit of more of a budget. And its box office was $51.3 million.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't see Mortal Kombat in the movie theaters for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They had so many characters they were trying to squeeze into that movie.
Yeah.
So I, as a fan of the franchise, I didn't really think about the fact that if you weren't familiar with it and you just jumped in expecting some sort of dialogue that was going to get you
up
to speed.
Yeah.
No, man. Mm-mm. They just took for granted you knew that shit going in.
Yeah, man. Bad movie. Movie. And a shame because, like I said, I really do like that first one. We talk about it all the time. I remember the theater lobby and the theater itself being electric leading into that first Mortal Kombat movie showing that I went to. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
Kids were fucking pumped, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there are two movies stand out to me in my college life, and they were both, I want to say both were 95, and it was Mortal Kombat and another movie we're probably going to talk about later in another episode, Starship Troopers.
Oh my goodness.
And I just,
what a year.
Both theaters just being packed and loud. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
Not loud, disrespectful loud, but like
when
into stuff
it.
Would happen into the movie, people would yell and like people
into
were
it.
Into the movie.
Yeah.
And man, it was so fun.
So I want to see Mass Effect adapted into a good movie or a good series. I think there's a good story that they could tell in a movie or series, but it also makes me nervous having seen that Halo show with John Halo.
Right. Well, I mean, we're just going to assume in this fantasy of ours that the show will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably one of my biggest. I would love to see a good live action Final Fantasy movie, but I don't know how you do that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you make Final Fantasy VII the movie and it be good? Like live action, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that?
It's just so fantastical, and
right, and like the hair, and like the hairstyles. Like, how are you gonna watch Cloud Strife in live action with that hairstyle when you're playing a video game or watching an anime or whatever it may be? That doesn't bother you at all. It just fits in with the universe. But you got to put some poor bastard in that spiky wig. That's when it gets fucking rough. And then also, we don't have Michael Clark Duncan to play Barrett, right? Which I think he would have made a good Barrett.
He sure would have.
Yeah. But if they ever do decide to make that movie, you best believe I'm sending in my audition tape, because I'm trying to play Tifa in that movie, all right? Nice. As far as what I would like to see, I don't want any properties that I'm like a huge fan of that I really like to get like a bad adaptation. So my answer is going to be Call of Duty. I want to see them try to make a Call of Duty movie, and it is the Call of Duty, like people are dutying on it online.
Yeah. It'll
probably be produced by Ben Shapiro anyway.
starring Gina Carano or some fucking shit.
Oh my god. Actually, I don't want that to happen, because that would mean that Microsoft gave them the permission to do that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know what? I'm not gonna even put that. I'm gonna cut it out of the episode.
Who gives a shit?
What about you, Steve? What are some video game movies you'd like to see? A good one and maybe a not so good one.
Yeah, good one. As I was thinking, sitting here, I had a couple candidates. I decided to go old school with Metroid here. I think Metroid would make a good, compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
In a movie sort of setting, you know, the kind of character development you get with the baby Metroid, you know, and stuff like that. I think it would be a hit too.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I mean, like, listen, it could fill a very untapped niche of like sci-fi fighting aliens, you know, armor. Like, there's a lot of cool shit you could do on it.
Like, and I think you could do like Kraid and Rip. What was the name of the other one?
Ripley.
It was Ripley. I thought I was going to say, and I was like, wait, that's not right. But yeah, those characters, I think they could do those in like maybe a bit of a CG kind of mechanical kind of deal.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be that big of a deal. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah. And like, you know, it's a movie where like, I think you can get the point across without a ton of dialogue too. Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That way you don't have to worry about any goofy dialogue with that movie.
Yeah. You can cast, you know, Sidney Sweeney. I don't know. You can cast whoever you want in it.
Yeah. I don't know. See, the casting part is the part that I'm never good at. Like she seems popular.
I'm just saying, like, she
can't imagine
putting her in it would probably get a lot of views. But
yeah,
you know,
well, didn't work for Madam Web.
Oh, that's a good point.
But this would be a good movie, right?
This would be better than that. Yep.
Yes.
Damn Web.
Madam Web.
All right, let's see. As far as a bad one goes, let's see. What was the game that was really bad that we were excited for?
Army of Two.
That would be kind of funny.
I feel like Army of Two, we tried to get into it, and we're like, this isn't very good. And then in later, like, its legacy is that, like, you know, that game was solid. I can't say for sure because I haven't gone back to it, even though we've joked about it a few times. Mm-hmm. That could make a really bad movie, though. You know, straight to Netflix type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Zack Snyder.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's hard to think of some bad ones because I tend to purge the bad games from my memory.
So, I'm trying to think of a good game like Mortal Kombat that would have a bad adaptation, right? Like kind of what he was talking about. And it's hard to say, like, what that would necessarily look like. Because the ones I want to see the most, if they ever got some sort of adaptation, I'd want it to be really good. Let me ask you this, Steve. I know we talked about it when the rumor first popped up, but it seems like it's still moving along, this whole idea of a Bloodborne movie. How do you convey the fucking story of a From game in a movie?
I don't know.
Seems like Bloodborne might have, just from the little I've played, might have the easiest adaptation. But like, a Dark Souls movie? I'm almost 20 hours into Dark Souls, and I don't know what the fuck is going on.
No, man. I still don't know what the fuck's going on in the Dark Souls games, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not exactly Vati Vidya with that stuff. But, yeah, their lore is so kind of detailed, but it all comes across in, like, freaking item descriptions.
Yeah,
and it's very obtuse
how you get the story of those games sometimes.
You know what I mean? You can't do a Dark Souls game and just be like, we're going to put it in the Dark Souls universe, and it's a couple dudes fucking palling around the undead burg or whatever. That's not going to work.
I don't know.
So I don't know if those would necessarily even be good. That's why I didn't want to really recommend a From game, because they would probably do nothing but fucking disappoint me. I guess they would be the ones to get the bad adaptation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The rumors going around of that Bloodborne movie is like they're trying to, I can't remember which one of the Skarsgars it is that they're trying to cast. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the weird one from It. I think
Bill.
I think it's just not maybe, you know, like I feel like maybe you're going in the wrong way with the casting already. Like the casting of Bloodborne is less important than the script and the look and feel of Bloodborne, right? In my opinion.
Yeah, of course.
But
there doesn't need to be a lot of dialogue anyway.
No, but they're gonna. And what if they're real fucked up with it and it's just the weird Skarsgård killing a bunch of people in wheelchairs? I'm still kind of side-eyeing Miyazaki about that. You know what I mean? Miyazaki,
reason,
Michael.
You know, there's a reason that those guys are in wheelchairs.
No feet?
So if you look at the descriptions, apparently the beast blood comes through your leg, like when you get infected. So if you see, like, in the old hunters, they'll actually tie belts around their legs. Like,
to keep it from spreading.
That might keep it from spreading, but spoiler alert, it doesn't. So a lot of times they end up having to hack off their legs to survive.
And
so
then
that's
they're all pissed off in a wheelchair.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I guess the, what's it called? The disease?
Beast blood disease.
Okay, beast
I believe.
Blood disease. You know what they call that in modern day, Steve? Spina bifida. So anyways, speaking of something that I think, now I don't think it would be a good movie, but if one of the streaming services wanted to finance a high budget Final Fantasy 14 series, like, you know what I mean, prestige series, I think that could work.
You mean like live action or animated?
Live action.
Okay. I think it could work too, like if you treat it like a look. Not like Lord of the Rings per se.
Lord of the Rings, like, or Game of the Thrones, like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
it's shown that it can be done. Yeah, exactly. You know? But with a little bit of that Final Fantasy goofiness and charm, get out of here. Estinian in live action. This is a segue because our buddy Neil.
I was about to say, I looked down and saw. That was a pro move right there, man.
Thanks, buddy. We got a voicemail from Neil about the Final Fantasy 14 beta on Xbox. Let's listen to it. Got your email right on time this time, Neil, because you sent it to the right one.
What's up, Paz and Steve? It's Neil giving you a call from Chicago. It's currently Sunday morning, about like 8:30. I've been up since about 4 a.m. because I couldn't sleep, but in that 4.5 hours, I have been crushing Final Fantasy 14, the beta on Xbox. And Hawes, You have talked a lot of sugar about this game, and I've never had a way to play it until now, and it is fantastic. I have literally spent the better part of my weekend playing this, and it's so good. It's a lot of typical MMO stuff that I'm used to because I played WoW for a lot of years, but it's all woven together with a story that actually works for me, and Final Fantasy is one of my vibes anyway. So as an entire package, to use one of your words, it's just delightful. I think, honestly, my favorite thing, though, is when the music, when you complete one of the duties in the game, that's, like, literally adrenaline pumping and awesome. So, anyway, just wanted to drop my two cents on the game. Definitely fantastic. I'm going to be picking it up when it releases, whenever that is later this year. What a vibe. A lot of fun. All right. Hope you guys have a good day. Talk to you later. Bye.
Neil, I'm expecting you when the time comes. I'm expecting you to enroll in the High Potion Guild when we get our...
Oh, yeah, buddy.
I'm so glad that Xbox players have a chance to play this. And I have to be honest with you, buddy. I was, you know, dicking around on Reddit, and I started noticing a lot of people in, I want to say, the Xbox Series X subreddit talking about the beta. And so I was interested to see what they were saying. A lot of people were like, oh my God, it's so fun. Like, oh, it's so neat. Like, and consistently people brought up how friendly the community were and how excited people on servers were to see Xbox players start showing up. Another reason why that is the best MMO ever made, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I played a lot of WoW as well.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I think I prefer this. you know, I'm happy to hear it, Neil, you know, this is a great game. I assume the beta probably has, it's just a Realm Reborn at this point.
Honestly, I don't know. From what I was reading,
you can start with Heavensward now.
No, you got to do a Realm Reborn. You got to start at the beginning of the story.
The story of a Realm Reborn is good, but the stuff in the expansions, it becomes great.
Yeah,
like the gameplay is good enough to carry you through. Mm-hmm. You know, the Realm Reborn, and the story's pretty good.
Well, no, to be honest, getting through the story of Realm Reborn is fine. Like, the base story, like, the mm-hmm. ends in the big first sort of raid dungeon where someone yells at you for being a sprout and you almost get banned from the server.
We somehow run into the one dick.
The one dick in the community. Yeah. It is that all those quests in between a Realm Reborn and Heavensward, which... I believe since we've played, they've shortened that. They've condensed that a bit, which is good. But yeah, I mean, remember the running joke with me, you, Jeff, and Nick was, oh, I got to go talk to Alpha now again. Like, that was, it would be like, you'd go here, you'd do something, you'd be like, all right, go back and talk to him.
Neil, I wish Neil had told us what his character was.
His class and stuff is. Yeah.
We'll have to write back in.
He included the duty complete theme. Of course, I know what it is, but we got to give the listeners a little taste.
Let's give it. Yeah.
Okay, whoever recorded this theme for YouTube must have put it at like 4,000 decibels. Because when I first played it, it was blown out to shit. I'm going to restart it, okay?
I do like that it's a cat voice.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, did you see his little cat boy ears twitch?
No, of course. Oh, I didn't see him twitch, no.
Watch.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I saw it that time.
Hey, Steve, do you think it would be fucked up if we insisted that everybody on our guild has to be a cat boy or cat lady? The high potion Gatos? Oh, wait, what is the Nekos?
The Yankees, baby.
No, high potion Nekos.
There you go.
Yeah. Nekos. I was like, what's a Japanese word for...
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll make a catboy next when I come back.
Uh-oh. It's on. See what you've done, Neil? You've started the seed of a bit. Thanks for sending that in, buddy. I'm so glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Neil's cool and all, but he plays a lot of Call of Duty, mm-hmm. speaking of. And so I'm never able to break him off, though. I'm never able to talk to him about games because I don't like Call of Duty. So.
Yeah, he definitely knows that by now. You know, and that is nothing against him as well.
No,
but like,
of course not. Yeah.
He definitely knows we ain't down with the duty. All right, buddy, we fucked around enough. All right, we talked Final Fantasy a whole lot, you know? Talked about my waifu Tifa. I got to calm my ass down. I got to reset and get in the vibe for what we're about to talk about.
Right. Hold up real quick. I got one more thing I want to talk just a little bit about. Otherwise, that bit at the beginning isn't going to make a whole bunch of sense.
Oh, that's right.
So, you actually have been playing a little bit of Elden Ring, starting to catch get your new playthrough going.
Mm-hmm.
I had one going and currently going. I'm in Liurnia with that one. Done a little bit there, but not a ton. And I've kind of put it to the side for now because I've been playing a ton of Yakuza 2.
Uh-huh.
And I got to credit Pappas for that, probably, because it was right after we recorded that episode. I was like, you know what? Screw it. It's been long enough. It's time. And as of this recording, I'm 23 hours in.
Ooh, my lucky number.
Spent the last couple of hours. I finally got back to Sotenbury, starting Sotenbury, go to Kamurocho, back to Sotenbury. Sotenbury is where the Cabaret Club game is.
Oh, and we know that's a good one.
Yep. So I finally have been able to do that. And it's to the point now where you're having to, do you remember you take like your main girls out on dates almost?
Yep.
Kind of, and
increase their confidence and stuff.
Exactly. Yep. You talk them through. I'm doing all that now too, and that takes a little while. So it's just one of those fun time sinks that I'm into.
I love it. I love it.
About 65% of the way through the game, like on chapter 10 of 16, and really enjoying it so far. The story is good. And yeah, can't wait for you to play it too. We'll do a proper episode.
We definitely will. I told you, you need to start taking notes because obviously I have to devote a lot of time to Rebirth when it comes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still playing Infinite Wealth here and there, you know, like I'm trying to keep that one in the rotation so it doesn't get put to the side, because it's going to take so long to beat that game that I'm trying to like make sure I, you know, chip away at it here and there when I can. So I definitely want to play Kiwami, but it's going to be a second.
Of course.
Kiwami 2.
You know, I'm really trying to get it finished before Thursday, I guess, because I'm planning on playing Rebirth right away.
So, buddy, just listen to your old pal Halls. As someone who was contemporarily playing Like a Dragon and Final Fantasy 16 at the same time, right? Once Rebirth comes out, like maybe on a Sunday afternoon or it's, you know, a Saturday afternoon or something, devote a couple of hours to Kiwami 2 if you haven't beaten it before Rebirth comes out. That way it stays in rotation and you'll find out you're right as rain when the time comes to pick up Yakuza solely. Or not
right.
Solely, you know what I mean, primarily.
Because there's some weird shit, like there isn't any Yakuza game. Some of the fights can be janky. And
yeah.
I'm actually pretty good at the combat now. And, you know, I've played it long enough at this point, upgraded a bunch of stuff. So I don't want to lose my edge on that. Like if it comes to like a... If I give up in chapter 14 and take too long and come back and have to fight some crazy ass boss, you know what I mean? That could be a pain, but yeah, we'll see.
So, buddy.
All right.
It's time for a reset. I want to watch the trailer again because I haven't seen it since the day it came out when I woke up to you texting me about it and was like, well, I know what I'm watching while I pooped this morning. So let's play it.
Yeah.
And then let's get into, we've talked about it a little, but I've purposely not really gone in depth with you because, you know, I wanted to save it for the show. So here we go. Shadow of the Erd, Steve. Why would you start at 13 seconds in?
Peggy 16.
All right.
Great voiceover here at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Pure and radiant. He wields love to shrive clean the hearts of men. There is nothing more terrifying.
I get goosebumps every time.
I do too, buddy.
This is the Land of Shadow we're looking at.
Okay, so we're going to stop real quick. All right, because like I know there's not a lot of voiceover, and it's just going to be cool music and sounds of Elden Ring combat. But I do want to stop real quick, you guys. So if you've seen the Shadow of the Erd Tree trailer, you'll recognize, if any of you played Elden Ring, you'll recognize that first area is where you fight Mog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mog.
Mog, whatever. Yeah.
Is he? That is that optional? that fight?
No.
Okay.
The other one is.
The other one that's in the sewers? Because there's two different versions, right?
That's the way to go for the Flame of Chaos ending, and that's, you know, that's optional.
Okay.
But
okay.
You do have to fight him the first time, and apparently you also have to have beaten Radon as well, I heard today, before you can get in.
Okay, that's interesting. I wonder, okay. But it was...
I think it's because Radon, you know, when he opens the way probably to...
when the shit crashes into the earth. What a crazy concept. That it changed the map. God damn, what a game. Okay. Focus Halls. I want to say that it might have been while we were all playing Elden Ring within that first 3 months of its release, because I had a lot going on. It took me a long time to beat Elden Ring, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I looked, because when I started my new character the other day, I had 133 hours in Elden Ring, and that was one character, you know? So anyways,
let me also, in regards to that, people are kind of getting a little hung up on the fact that Miyazaki says that the map in the DLC is about the same size as Limgrave. And people are like, that seems kind of maybe small for what they're expecting. Mm-hmm. But remember that Miyazaki said he thought that it would take about 30 hours to beat Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, yeah.
I put in 103 hours on top of that, right?
That's what I'm saying. Well, like, and I put also in almost 150 hours on my first playthrough.
You got to also keep in mind that if you played Elden Ring, you realize there's the surface level map and shit above and below, in several layers, right? So, yeah, I don't.
He's 100% underselling it. That's what he does. And you're right, it's going to be below and above.
So I remember, for some reason, I have it in my head as when I was getting ready to or in the process of fighting Mog. Am I saying that character's name right?
I really don't know. I think I've always pronounced it Moog, but
Moog. Okay, Moog. All right, we're going to go with Moog. I'm deferring to the expert here. Anyway, Moog. And I remember Steve being like, hey, you know that egg in the background? I was like, yeah, what's that egg do? And he was like, apparently that might be where you access the DLC. And I'll be damned if that's not where you're going to access the DLC. Mm-hmm. He said this to me. If it wasn't then, it's been over a year that Steve told me that. How did you know?
Because Mikola, the character, was one that was alluded to in the lore a lot, but that we didn't see it all in the game.
Right. And obviously, if you fought Malenia, Blade of Mikola, you know there's a connection there.
Exactly. Yep. And even in the opening cinematic, which you watched on stream the other night, there's a shot of Moog holding Mikola. Mm-hmm. You know, you see him actually holding him. So it was just theorized that since that character was the most obvious one to be explored in a DLC, that egg would be the most logical spot to go for it. Huh. So creepy too, man, that egg.
So, okay.
Berserk references abound in this motherfucker too. If anybody out there has read Berserk and you know of the character Griffin, this dude, Mikola, is basically going to be the Griffin of this game, I believe.
Oh, rad.
Yeah.
So, what I was going to say is, like, it was real weird watching this trailer and be like, they sure are focusing on that fucking egg for 30 seconds here, like half a minute at the beginning of the trailer.
Right.
Okay, so can we take a quick lore break here? Because I have some questions.
Of course, yeah.
What the fuck is that egg? What that egg do?
See, I don't know that stuff. Okay. There's lots of stuff I don't know.
Okay.
I'm gonna assume that it's somewhere, you know, maybe he has like some kind of astral projection thing going on. Remember, like how Selin, did you do Selin's quest line? She was the sorceress.
Yes.
She had her body trapped in one spot in like those witch ruins, but she was able to kind of also be in another spot and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's kind of doing that.
Okay.
And maybe the egg is what's keeping him alive.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask. Mikola is in that egg?
Yes, that's okay. That's almost certain. Yeah. Okay.
And is Moog protecting the egg? Does he have bad intentions for the egg? Is he trying to resurrect Mikola? What's the deal with Moog in the egg?
I think he's trying to protect them for when he returns from the Land of Shadow.
Right.
Ostensibly. I'm not sure, you know, there's the lore reason specifically for him doing it, but... Mm-hmm.
You know, what's interesting to me is, after reading a bunch of the interviews with Michael Zaki about the DLC, I've said it, a lot of people have said it, it definitely seems like Elden Ring is a bit inspired by Breath of the Wild, right? Mm-hmm. Especially its concept and approach to an open world game. And it's very fascinating to me that in the DLC, it seems a whole lot inspired by A Link to the Past with its alternate dark world or whatever it was called. You remember in the SNES game?
Yeah, sure. That was great. Yeah, and that's, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he took that for inspiration.
Yeah, obviously it's gonna be way more dark and fucked up. All right, let's go. You now, buddy, you're gonna have to dictate the next time you want me to stop in the trailer. Okay.
Okay. Do we want to just watch it through, or
I'm leaving that up to you. If you want me to stop at certain parts,
I'll stop you,
and I'll give timestamps when we stop too.
Okay. Stop it. Okay, so you see like the grace guidance coming out of the sky there.
Yeah.
And like it's an Erd tree, but it's not an Erd tree.
It's not the Erd tree from the game, because I've been looking at that motherfucker a lot the last few days.
Right. So this land is supposedly in the shadow of the Erd tree, literally. So that's why, like, I think it's literal and metaphorical. Like, there, you know, there's a bunch of abominations in the eyes of the Golden Order down there that wouldn't be allowed to be in anywhere where the Erd tree shines.
So is this literally behind the, is that the Erd tree from the game that we, from Elden Ring, and we're on the other side of it?
No, it's not that simple. It's
okay.
Like,
it's way more metaphorical. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, bro, 'cause I'm dumb as shit when it comes to this.
Nope. And I think that the Land of Shadow was made when Marika ascended to godhood, like her first step, from what I understand, maybe into godhood, created the Land of Shadow.
Okay, so can we stop here for a little? Mm-hmm. All right. Can you give me a sort of cliff notes? What, like, you got to explain it to me like you're trying to explain it to like a fifth grader. Okay. I need some cliff notes on Marika. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple things, and don't be afraid to correct me or tell me that I'm wrong. I remember something from the lore from playing the first time that it was Mikola who crucified Marika.
I don't believe so. I don't think we know who crucified her.
Okay. So
there's theories that it could have been the dude in this video.
Mesmer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
But yeah, now Marika, there's still so much of this junk that I don't know either, you know?
Right.
Like, all their games are vague. They never spell out anything explicitly too much, especially with something like that, you know? Because they don't go too into like the actual process of ascendancy. It takes place over like a long period of time.
So who was Marika? What's the earliest piece of Marika lore that there is? Was she just a regular lady?
It's a good question. I don't know.
But so eventually she ascended to godhood, right? Mm-hmm. And what about her ascending to godhood leads to me riding around on Torrent dying a bunch?
So she broke the Elden Ring.
Okay.
And the shards,
the great shattering.
The shattering. And then when the shards came down, all her children, quote unquote, mm-hmm. the demigod children,
mm-hmm.
who ended up with the shards.
Demigods,
you know, they became powerful and waged war against each other to try to get
each piece,
the other shard.
So what was the purpose of the Elden Ring? What did the Elden Ring do before in the she shattered it in the Great Shattering or whatever? But
I just kind of feel like it's a metaphor for like godlike power.
Oh, I see. So yeah. You know what's okay? So you know how in a lot of JRPGs it starts off and it's like, hey, we're going on an adventure, and then at the end it's like, we're going to kill God.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty
this
much.
This is the post. This is what happens after your little JRPG group kills God in Final Fantasy VI or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah, and you're that's doing neat. That's a from staple. You know, they place you in a world where something crazy has happened, and you're left to kind of piece together.
Now,
what, why, or how?
Is there any indication on how long after the shattering of the Elden Ring you wake up as a Tarnished?
No. A long time.
Long time, right?
A long, long time, I think. Yeah, because there's the whole war against the giants and all that stuff that gets fought.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And then there's not like, it doesn't seem like there is a ongoing war.
Mm-mm.
Right. No, that, and by the time you get into the game, right? Like
with the giants? No. That
no,
was
with anybody.
Because, oh, with anybody. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're all kind of just decaying in their spots, basically, right?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never see a thriving town in a From game.
No. No. All right. So we're gonna
Yeah, let's keep going. Yeah. I love that shot though. That's cool.
Oh my god.
In that forsaken place.
Bloodlust
spill. Blood of your fellows. They are truly faithful.
They will never sink.
Pause it. Go back just a tiny little bit there.
To that city?
That Stormveil head-ass looking castle there. Yeah, I wanted to just see that again.
Yeah.
That's definitely a legacy dungeon.
Yeah, that's that. You're gonna be all up in that castle.
Yep. Can't wait.
You know the boss fight is probably up here, right?
Somewhere up there.
You're gonna go up there, and it's gonna sweep you into the clouds, and you're gonna fight some fucking horrific nightmare, and then you're gonna die, and you gotta run all the way from down here and up here to get back.
Yep. I love it, man. Yeah. One thing I'm curious to see, because, you know, quote unquote, the area is as big as Limgrave, but they've got 10 bosses. You know what I mean?
10 like, bosses, medium.
At least 10.
Small, okay. Medium, and large.
Large legacy dungeons.
Legacy dungeons. Mm-hmm.
So try to imagine all that in Limgrave.
Yeah, because it's multiple layers.
Yeah,
it's like a burrito.
Work. Like, yeah, it's going to have to be like bigger in so many different ways.
Yeah, and the other thing is, think of how many weird little areas you could get transported to, little pocket universes in Elden Ring, like where you fight Placidusurx and shit, right?
There's going
to
be tons of optional stuff.
Faramazula.
Yep. Crumbling Faramazula. Yeah.
There'll probably be some Evergoals.
Oh, that was, yeah.
It's pronounced jail.
There might be a little piece of something in here. If there is, I'll get you to pause on it.
Okay.
Let's keep going after the big castle here. This thing. Pause it. Okay, so this gigantic fire-looking wicker basket thing.
Yeah, wicker man.
Yeah, this was apparently some weapon that was used in a war here. Like, there was a war in the Land of Shadows, which we're going to find out about.
And this was, like, their version of an AT-AT.
Maybe. Miyazaki said whatever it is, it's horrible. And, like, I think that, like, it's just packed full of corpses. That's what's on fire. Also, I think somebody pointed out on Reddit that it might have a fire giant head hanging off of its belt.
I can kind of see that. Huh.
So this thing is massive.
Okay.
We thought the fire giant was big. This is bigger, way bigger.
Okay.
So.
This thing freaks me out.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, I got the kids call it the ick. But yeah. I got like the chills sitting on the toilet watching this. I was like, I don't like this. It's a big worm with arms.
Arms, yeah, skinny arms.
Yeah.
It just grabs you and then like it just eats your entire head, takes your entire head into the mouth and lifts you up. Here's definitely a boss.
This is a good boy. That's a good boy right there. He's actually, so Steve, I actually had some, my uncle works for From, and he said, this is, he's your friend. And you go,
his, oh man.
And he said, it's Miyazaki's version of Red 13, you know?
He is not your friend.
He's
pal.
My friend. Steve, you don't know me and animals, man.
Listen, this thing is terrifying. It's like some giant kind of, it's human feet.
Yeah, it looks like a chimera from Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, chimera-esque for sure.
It's got human feet, and it's so it looks like a lion in the face, mm-hmm. and it's got a lion's jaw, but inside the jaw it also has human teeth.
Human teeth, yeah.
So is this a big dude wearing a lion's head as a mask?
I don't know, but there's another shot in this that makes me wonder if you're going to get this thing's power.
Uh-oh.
When
okay.
you kill it. This attack is absolutely terrifying. God. Jesus.
Mother.
Here comes Snake Boy.
Truly lordship sanction.
All right, so this is Mesmer, right?
Mesmer, yeah.
He seems to be kind of how, like, Millennia was one of the focuses of Elden Ring and promotion and stuff. Obviously, she was the statue in the collector's edition. That's him for that. Like, he
absolutely is.
Buddy, you know that statue, those two together, that's a sick-looking little display.
I know.
Oh, man.
God, you're not wrong.
So.
Okay, he's got dragon eyes.
One of the eyes, I think, apparently is wounded. We don't know that from this shot.
Like, okay, but you should be able to see his right eye in this shot, and it looks like it's closed. In fact, you can see the eyelashes, and the other one's a dragon eye. Call me fucking body video, baby.
What eye is it that your lady is missing? Is it the same eye, or is it the opposite eye as this
eye? Okay, you mean Melina?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that her name?
Yes.
Melina. Okay, Steve, I'm glad you brought this up. What can you tell me about Melina? What that Melina do?
So she is definitely like a child of America and has kind of the powers of the others. Kind of.
Are the others?
When I mean like Godfrey or
Godric.
Godric, like Redon. Ronnie, like she's an Empyrean, like all those.
Okay.
And I think that's why at the end she has to sacrifice herself to set the Erd Tree on fire. Like she's one of the only things capable of doing that.
I gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Bereft of light.
Okay. These weapons, he's using a new type of weapon.
Which they said there's.
Eight categories. Yeah.
New categories of weapons. That doesn't mean they're adding eight new weapons. It's eight categories, which are going to have several weapons within them.
And how many categories did it already have?
I don't even know. A shitload.
This is another cool weapon. I'm really hoping that this is awesome. So this dude is just flinging knives, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is like a weapon you equip. Like, this is a new type of weapon, and like,
keep throwing them.
It just keeps throwing.
It doesn't have necessarily like ammo, like throwing knives
right.
or
It may have a cooldown or something after you've thrown a couple, but
yeah, this section of the trailer is new abilities and weapons, which I really so like this part.
Just to stop, yeah, this spell looks cool.
Yeah, more than
it is, yeah.
You think that spell has anything to do with Melina or Millennia? Because there's butterflies involved.
Could be.
Now
very
this
well
shit,
be.
This motherfucking Ongbok shit.
Oh, yeah, man. This is a guy who's just flat out doing martial arts.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Got thrown a way oversized hot fire or rapid fire machine gun crossbow. Just there, that thing. What is that?
I don't, it looks like
a bear.
A rune bear? Fucking real pissed.
So I think if you can rewind it a little bit more there,
uh-huh.
See if it's like the player understanding underneath it. Cast.
Oh, okay. There's somebody right here. You see that?
Yeah.
Their legs. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, damn. It took us back to the.
That's okay.
Fire corpse tree. Oh, look at me jumping right back. Yeah, there's
so
definitely
a
player.
Be like, you know how the dragon things are.
Yeah.
This could be a similar kind of deal, only with just a rune bear.
That's totally something. I like that is, I didn't even notice that the first time I watched it. There's somebody coming. What kind Mikkeller is doing
here? Oh, stop it. Okay. This is definitely an Everjail.
Oh, yeah. Look at the flowers.
Yeah. And this person, somebody pointed this out on Twitter. I want to give him credit. Sekiro Doobie.
Okay.
This character, there's like a charm you might have gotten or something called the Blue Dancer charm. And it had a, it has a picture of a lady on it who looks a lot like this lady.
Oh.
So I think that she's kind of related to some lore that we've hinted at. So,
ooh, I like that. They're setting
just
little pieces.
Just a small little connection.
That's
yeah,
cool.
A cool thing. Yeah.
She do be dancing.
This guy.
Bro.
Yeah, the
rhino
hippo.
Fucking rhinoceros hippopotamus.
Yeah, this, I love this shit, man. This is like classic. This is vintage from stuff right here. This character design.
Those stripped.
Oh, this guy. Oh, you know he's just going to pull the whole head off, right? Like, the whole head's coming off. And it's going to be a sword.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and the sword is going to... Oh, my goodness. That's gnarly.
That's so sick. This is my favorite shot of the trailer.
Oh, it's
sick. The one we're paused at
right
now.
It looks like a tool... if we went to the Birmingham show and instead of that Lisa Frank who got into drugs poster that they did in Birmingham, this was the image. Though. Oh, I love it, too. It's awesome. I'm not
hating on
it.
Hold on. Before you hit pause, what's the timestamp here? 2:22?
2:22, exactly. Yeah.
This guy is going to be probably a lot of people's favorite, I'm guessing. Just
I have a feeling.
It's going to be so sick.
I have a feeling that this dude's going to be dick ass hard, too.
He might be, yeah.
Dick and butt hard.
A race of gold shall death. In the race of
this guy's Ash of War is going to be so awesome that we get after we beat him.
Mesmers?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it's probably something like he just did. He slammed the ground and those things all come up out of the ground.
Got all them snags.
Ooh, that's another new weapon. An offensive shield.
Right?
Yeah.
Sick, right?
It's a shield that does defense and offense.
I will not be far behind. May we meet again.
Okay.
So hyped, dude.
Fuck yeah. Oh, hold on. We got just a little bit more after the title.
Yeah, there's a tiny little bit. Post-credit scene.
Who's this, Steve?
Mikkeller, I believe. Okay.
So, buddy, give me the rundown as you understand it, the story and sort of the path of Shadow of the Erd, Steve.
So, like I said, it's all about Mikkeller, and apparently you're going to basically be following in his footsteps through the Land of Shadow, kind of seeing what has been happening as he's traveled through, I guess, seeing the after effects of the war and stuff like that. And other than that, I don't know, but I think it sounds like they're upping the stakes as far as like what's happening here is far more important than what's happening over in the lands between.
Okay. So this is a question I have. This DLC is, so seemingly sort of in its own little pocket universe, meaning like it's not going to have necessarily huge consequences or it's, you know, effects on the mainland, right? Like of Elden Ring. It also doesn't necessarily take place after Elden Ring.
No, it takes place during, I think, as far as it's going to go. And one thing that I found pretty interesting here is that apparently in the DLC they're moving towards a bit of a Sekiro model where you can't necessarily grind your way through it. Like, you're only going to be able to up your attack power by beating bosses in this one, because like it's going to be like almost a completely separate stat. It's not going to be like...
Really?
I'm sure you'll be able to get runes and still level up that way, but I think maybe it while you're in the DLC...
There's going to be something, some sort of hard break or
either that, or they're going to start you at like, you know, power level one You know what I mean? Like
shadow level one or something.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll have its own dedicated stat that you level separately from the main game. Okay.
And while you'll still have probably all your
ashes, weapons, armor, yada, yada, yada.
Your vitality, all that stuff will be the same. It's just the how hard you hit things is going to stop being dependent on.
Well, that would be cool with me because that means I don't necessarily have to beat all of Elden Ring again to get to where I'm ready to play Shadow of the Erdtree when it comes out. Now, I'll say this. I'm planning on beating an Elden Ring again, but now I'm kind of leaning towards getting my character in a good spot, make sure I've beaten Moog and Radahn, right? And then go do the DLC, come back and just dookie stomp the rest of the game, you know?
Finish it up. Yeah, because you'll want to win. You want to beat the game because I'm sure they're going to add endings.
Yeah, right.
Via the DLC.
Do you think, like, you know how in Elden Ring the Site of Graces work where it's like that golden pathway, right?
Right.
Do you think we're going to be following foot? I think they're going to change the effect to footsteps.
Yeah. Oh, footsteps. Yeah, you're probably right. And it'll probably be a different color.
Yeah, yeah, mix it up a bit.
We'll probably fight a lot more things that try to sleep us, I bet. I bet sleep will be a thing that is a little more of a threat. You know, I really can't wait. I'm sure we'll be more info coming out as we wait.
I have a feeling
So
I think we have to fucking get the crew back together. We got to get the band back together because fucking I have a feeling that's another two-parter.
Oh yeah, we'll get the gang back.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be my take some time off for this year. So
I'm considering it.
When the DLC drops, I'm already going to be just sitting in Moog's chamber just waiting, you know. Yep.
Belly full of wondrous physic. I'm back, baby. I'm seriously kind of way in Elden Ring again. It's my game when I'm not playing something with somebody else. I'm kind of dicking around in Elden Ring. Side note, I got one of those PlayStation portals, the little remote player. I'll talk about it a little bit more in the next episode as well. Does a pretty good job playing Elden Ring when I just want to sit in my bed and play Elden Ring.
That's really fucking cool, man. Work. Jealous of that. And I'm really happy that you're back into it. Like it's always fun for me when you're into games that I love too. So
I'm still working on I've got two From games going.
Which is music to my fucking ears.
Finally beat that goddamn Hydra in Dark Souls 1. Woof.
Some bad design.
I was just fucking avoiding Blight Town like the plague, and now that I'm there, I'm like, I really wish I was fighting that Hydra. All right, buddy. So clearly we're stoked for the DLC for our game of the year 2022.
Ooh, can't wait. Once you add this on there, it's going to be fucking ridiculous how good that game is.
So let me say, we talked about last year being such a killer game for video game year for video game releases, and it was. There were so many incredible games. To me, already my three of my top five for the end of the Final Fantasy is probably. I have to finish the story of Final Fantasy Rebirth because I'm a little worried they're going to get a little fucky with it at the end, and I'm a little nervous about that. But it's probably
a little worried about that.
Yeah, a little bit. You sure about that?
I think it's going to be a lot fucky.
but it depends on the level of fucky. If they kill Tifa.
Hold up.
Yeah, that's too fucky
for me.
I'm going
to have to take you out of the kitchen, man. I can't let you keep cooking.
That's just saying. I'm just saying, I have to beat it before I say it's the game of the year. But Elden Ring and Helldivers, already three.
Whew, I solid can just entries, tell. Man.
I can't imagine that they're going to be like From's worst DLC ever. No. There's no way.
This is, in my mind, as guaranteed of a home run as there is in the industry.
Yeah, it's like a new Tool
album. It's
going
to be great, yeah. They wouldn't charge $40 for it if they weren't confident that it was going to deliver massively. Yeah.
Well, and they also, it's 2 years of development, more than 2 years of development by the time it comes out. So anyways, guys, what you guys should do is go to myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. Now, let me check something real quick, Steve. I want to see how you access it because there's something a little weird. on myweirdfoot.com if you go to High Potion, right? Ooh. So if you go to it, right, you got to go to myweirdfoot.com, hit High Potion, it'll take you to like the specific High Potion page. You're going to see some options, links, episodes, listen now. By the way, all of this put together by Sean Hoffman, one of the best mods in the game.
Man.
One of the best dudes in the game. And there, at the very end, is something that says adventure. And if you click on it, it's a High Potion-themed text adventure, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
You guys
that
got...
That is amazing.
So it's Hall, Steve, and Walter looking for their Holy Grail, a rare video game cartridge rumored to contain the never-released alpha copy of Mass Effect Uncensored.
Nice.
And you guys should check it out. Okay,
that's really sick.
It's sick, bro. Send us an email. You know, leave us a review, please, for God's sake. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.